Oh, you can listen to it tonight when you're trying to go to sleep again. Did you have an announcement?
I did have an announcement.
Okay, what was that, Harry? Family Day at Marion County Fair.
Yeah, and you might ask what it has to do with the
Well, that's sweet, Harry. Thank you. Yeah, well, Carrie, back in our little computer booth, is cancer-free. Yeah. She wanted me to share that today. Hey, Carrie. Everybody wave to Carrie. There she is. She's outside the booth right now. That's great news. And so the music is going to do some fundraising for cancer victims, or in honor of. And speaking of which, that is good news. And Becky's here with us this morning, and her husband, Jim, did not survive cancer. He's with Jesus now, and that was three weeks ago, Becky, or 20th, yeah. And I just want to say that this is twice now that Becky has had to bury a husband, and I've been with her through some of those times, and she's an amazing person, and her daughter-in-law, Wendy's with her today, and I'm proud of you guys, and I love you, and I so appreciate your attitude toward life and God and me, and it was an honor to speak at Jim's service there on Crooked Finger. And I'd like to actually pray for you, Becky. Father, we give thanks for healing, and we give thanks when things don't seem to go the way we'd like them to, and when we don't understand. But I pray your grace upon Becky today and her family and Wendy that's here with her, all the family. We thank you for Jim and just the smiles and the love he shared with us so many years, and we pray your grace upon his whole entire family. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to title this message today, The Main Thing. And I was talking to someone at the farmer's market yesterday who's not a church person, but we were just talking about stuff, and she knows me. And I said, I invited her. I said, you could come, because some of her friends come here, and we were just, you know, talking about, I don't know how to describe how we were talking, but I just said, I'm going to talk about the main thing, and she said, so you're going to talk about love? And I said, yeah. She knew what the main thing was. The main thing's love. And Oak Street Church has a statement, you know, that we're a faith community dedicated to helping people and to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and on and on. It doesn't go very long, actually. In authentic community for the good of the world. I think that's the whole thing, actually. But it's all about love. The main thing is love. And that's because the main thing is really about Jesus. So there was back in the 70s, some of us will remember this, and some of us won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But there was a guy who became a very excited Christian, and he felt called to be at all major sporting events, especially football. I don't know about really all the other events, but I think he was at others too. But he was wealthy. He was independently wealthy, and he felt like his ministry was to sit in the end zone of like Super Bowls or huge events. And his hair, I believe, was all rainbow colored, and maybe his shirt too, so he was easy to spot. But every time there would be like an extra point, especially in a football game, when the cameras were all in this one location, somehow he had the money to buy that seat too, like right in the center of the cross, the uprights, and he would flash the sign, John 3:16. Remember? How many of us date ourselves to remember that guy? I don't know if he's still around or still doing that. And what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. And we can, it goes on, I know, but let's just stop there. God loves the world, so Jesus Christ comes forth. Now we, I'll speak for myself, I'm not part of a religion of a book. There are lots of religions about really what's written in books. But I say that, why do I say that I'm not a follower of a religion from a book? There are different interpretations, but I'm the follower of a person before I'm a follower of a book. The book, actually the Bible, which I'm going to be reading from, actually I'm going to do a Bible study here in the beginning before we do kind of a sermonette. The Bible is really a library. It's 66 books. It's not a book. And it's very complicated. And it's not an answer, an easy answer, the question book. If you've ever heard that before, like any problem you have, you just, it's in the button. No. Very challenging to interpret and understand what Scripture is speaking about. That's why we take it very seriously. It's sacred. It's inspired. But how we live that out is complicated. I'm very glad Jesus wrote no books himself. Because who knows what mankind would do with that to make it a sword or a hatchet, you know, or a bomb. But Jesus did write once in the sand when people wanted to condemn a woman for adultery, right? And the law said of the day was to stone her. But he somehow wrote something and then said, whoever's here that doesn't have sin, you can throw the first stone. And they all left. So he wrote something. We don't know what he wrote. So we're, you know, I want to be a follower of a person. In the Gospel of John, it says that the Word of God, and that's a mystery to me, somehow God spoke and the universe was formed. How that happened, I have no idea. Did that happen 4 billion years ago at the Big Bang? It may have. Did it happen a lesser frequent space of time? Maybe. I'm not going to argue that with anyone. It doesn't make sense to. It only ends up in a conflict. God spoke, though, I believe, and everything was made and still being made, and we're still evolving. There's an evolution that does take place. If you look at the Bible and you look at the history of the Old Testament and into the time of Jesus and after Jesus, you see an evolution, and it's an evolution of love. It's a grace movement now. And so, yeah, I'm not a person of the book, but the book's important, obviously. The books of the Bible are important. We get a history, we get poetry, prophetic words, all kinds of stuff. The gospel message, the early church development. It's all in there, it's recorded, and I believe it's pretty accurate. But how we interpret it, very complicated, can be. And it can divide us, because it's no longer then about the main thing. It's about what I know, what I think I know, and how much I know it better than you. So today, I want to start with Romans 8 in the New International, and Carrie will be putting them up there. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We do have extras in the back, and if you want to look at those, you can even take them. They're just there. So in Romans 8, verse 35, we're going to start, or 34 is fine. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, there's a transformation in that verse that we just read of Jesus. There's even a transformation of Jesus in that, isn't there? He lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended, he's interceding for us. There's a transformation. Jesus is the example of transformation to us. We are in a state of transformation, and we're being transformed into more loving people. That's the idea of the gospel. That's the idea of being Christ followers, is that we would grow in love. Not so much knowledge. Knowledge has its place, but we're to grow interiorly with love. in Romans, it would help me to look at my Bible besides up there. Okay, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. Now, this is speaking about the followers of Jesus. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. You like your calling? Now, think about it. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. The Bible does describe us in many places as sheep, and Jesus as the shepherd. And what happens when one sheep's lost from the 99? What did Jesus say? He'll go after it. So sometimes, you know what? You're that one. I'm that one. I'm not really where God wants me to be. He'll come after me. He values me. He values you. That's love. That's the story Jesus told. He told the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And it had to do with the value he places on what was called lost in those stories, which would be you and I, and we would be that sheep. So in verse 37, or we did that one. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, who loved us? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does that sound like the main thing to you? That's the main thing. God is making it clear to the letter, in the letter to the Romans through Paul. And now we're going to, just to kind of do this Bible study the way I wanted to, we're going to go to Galatians, I think. Is that how the order I had? Corinthians. Thank you, Carrie. 1 Corinthians 12, the last verse of 12. First Corinthians 12, I think it's, 31. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, Paul's been speaking of gifts that we should, you know, think about and desire. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. And so, in 13, we know that 13, 1 Corinthians 13 is called the what? It's the love chapter, and it's right between the two gifts chapters, because people with their gifts tend to get brutal sometimes, or tend to get not so nice, or into themselves. Look at my gift. I think TV preaching is dangerous. TV anything is dangerous. People that want to be in the spotlight all the time, politicians, there are very few of them considered to the masses of people. It takes a certain kind of person to want to be that kind of person, and it's very dangerous. Love is the main thing. So Paul would go on to say, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. We'll stop right there, Carrie. And we'll go to, well, actually, yeah, we're going to where you want. We'll go to 13, yeah, thanks. You were right. And now Paul basically says, you know, without love, I'm nothing. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, it's the main thing. Faith's important, isn't it? Hope, so that was important things. John spoke about peace last week. Important stuff. But what's most excellent? Love. So Paul spells it out there in Corinthians. I'll show you a more excellent way. And in the beginning of 14, you don't have to turn to this, or we're not going to look at it. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But love's the foundation. Love's what we're standing on, and it's unmovable. Jesus, we sang about being the solid rock that we stand on. That's the love. We stand on, that's the foundation of everything. And without it, Paul says, we're nothing. I don't care what kind of spiritual gifts you might have, or insights, or cool stuff you can do. It won't matter. Okay, Galatians 5. So it's like Romans, Corinthians, Galatians 5. What was the verse I gave you, Carrie, the first one? 6, okay. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. Okay, these things in the law. And only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So it's not about rules and regulations and different things, different traditions people want to keep or not keep. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And to further, in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, Mary ministered that a few weeks back, is the first one named is love. Now, the other ones are important too, joy, peace, forbearance, but love is number one because it's the main thing. Finally, Ephesians. This is the last verse I'm going to have you turn to. Ephesians 3. 3:16. Thanks, Carrie. Paul's praying here in his letter. He says, I kneel, I pray. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? Love. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Might as well finish it. It's so amazing. Now to him who is able, Jesus, to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, and this power that comes by love, that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, that was the Bible study. Harry, you awake? Okay, come on. Shake it off. You can listen to it tonight now. Thanks, Carrie. So how can I and you and I grow in this love? That's where we're to grow. That's how what growth is about. How can we be transformed into this thing Paul's speaking about, this fullness? Because Paul's extremely excited about it. I think he's experienced it himself. And it's not something he's experienced once, and it's like now he's a new person. No, it's something he has to keep grasping for. And that might be a big problem with us, because if you're like me, you may want things to happen fast, like, if it's a problem you have or whatever, you might want a quick fix. You know what a quick fix is? It's generally not what Jesus is speaking about. Transformation is not a quick fix. It's a lifetime and more. Because I believe when this life ends, transformation really begins. And let it happen. You and I, we don't have the power to do anything about that. What we do have the power to love. And love is the most powerful force in the universe, I believe. Yeah, we need it. Yeah, our country needs it. People need it. We all need it. We're to be like Jesus. He's the example. I said this, I think, a couple weeks ago. There's no Christian I'm trying to model my life after. That's wrong. Now, I can be affected for good and for bad by other people's examples, but Jesus is the example. He's the person to look at and look to for my change. Be like Jesus. Keith Green used to sing a song. I want him. I need him. I want to be more like Jesus. Obviously, I'm not singing it too well, but it's a prayer. I want to, I need to be more like him. Thought, word, indeed. So, number one, I must start right where I am. Is there anywhere else we can start? Sometimes I have to be honest, I want to be somewhere else. I don't want to be where I am. I want to be somewhere else. Do you ever want to just be somewhere else? That's why traveling is fun, usually. You know what I mean? When I travel, when I get to do that, nobody usually knows me. The things of home aren't pulling on me. And I feel this kind of freedom. But you know what? The reality is home. So I have to start where I am. You and I start where we are. There's no other starting place. And besides, you know, so wanting to be somewhere else can be an escape thing for us in your mind, and not a good thing. Planning a trip's fine. But always wanting to be somewhere else is not a good thing. I know I recently discovered this year there's a coffee shop at the Abbey. You know, I love the coffee shops in Silverton and seeing people there. But Kathy and I visited the Abbey coffee shop, and I felt like I was somewhere else, like far away. And I didn't know anyone, and it was like this, kind of fuzzy feeling there. I'm sure after I hung out there a while and I knew people, you know, that fuzzy thing would go away. But do you know what I mean? Yeah. Now, another problem is wanting to be someone else. That's not good. Because we got to start where we are and we got to be who we are. So we can't be someone else. Have you ever wanted to be someone else? See somebody with all the fly fishing gear and he's got these long, perfect casts. And I want to be that person. No, it's not you, Steve. Whatever it is. You know what I mean? There's escapism. We have to start where we are. We have to be who we are. How am I today? Am I angry? Am I sad? Am I scared? Am I peaceful, like John preached last week? Where am I has to do with who I am. And that's complicated. Who you and I are, very complicated. The love of God is so important to us. It sustains us. Because we have a complicated, unique history. Each of us. A history of people that have been in our lives. Places, experiences, they are all different from one another. Of books, songs, voices, colors, buildings, plants, plans, we're all different. Some of this I live aware of, you know, and if you've been around me a little bit and if you're going camping with me down in the Redwoods, I get passionate about it because that's my experience. I'll tell you this is the best coffee shop in the world in Grants Pass, Oregon. You don't have to believe it, but I believe it. And if you're with me, then, you know, you get to enjoy that. But some of the things that are part of who I am, I don't even know, and I'm actually unconscious of them, or at least they lie dormant, possibly, in me. But they still make me who I am, and they make you who you are. And I grew up in such a way that you did not talk about how you were. Okay? You just didn't. I knew nothing about it or who I was in that regard. I remember as a child, my father told me, because, you know, as you're a kid, you realize you have grandparents. And you're like, and I knew who my dad's parents were and were my grandparents. And then my mom, that subject came up with my mom. My dad's counsel to me was, don't ask your mom anything about that or anything else, really. Because my mom was orphaned and had a very hard time and did not talk about that, any of that. And so I kind of grew up with this thing of not talking about anything except, is it raining today? Yeah, it's raining. Are the cows in the third pasture? Yeah. Is the corral clean? Is all the manure picked up? But never like, how are you doing? So I didn't know anything about that. So, number two, we have to be willing to grow and move from where we are. Now, I'm not talking about place now. I'm talking about us. We're called to be new creatures in Christ. I believe that. You believe that?
Yes.
We're called to be new creatures. Scripture spells it out. In fact, it's spelled out in terms like born again, a child, become like as a child, from death to life. There's just all kinds of anecdotes about this transformation thing that's supposed to happen in us. What's possible for me or you? What could be possible tomorrow? Something new. But if you don't know how to really talk about things, that can be a difficult process. So I remember my blessed wife, Kathy. So when we got married, and you know, we were Jesus followers, passionate Jesus followers, didn't really know each other that well, but we knew Jesus. And we had hormones. And we were young. And she was 20, and I was 22, and we got married. And I remember on our wedding night, and I'm not talking about, you know, you want me to stop now? I'm not talking about the physical part of it. I'm talking about the inner being part. I'll always remember it because we shared hearts in such a way that was very healing, I think, for both of us. But in my mind, I think at that point, I thought everything was fine. Everything was taken care of now. I think that was my mentality, really. Because 4 or 5 days later, we're on a walk on our honeymoon in the Redwoods, where I know everything. And we're walking on that trail to the coast through old growth forest, 5 mile hike about, and Kathy's behind me. And somewhere early in the hike, I hear this person crying. And I'm like, what is that? Nobody in my family ever cried. Not publicly. And yeah, there was a lot to work on and figure out and get to know. Transformation starts in all kinds of places. I really knew so little about her and about love. The main thing. How to love someone, in an unconditional, in a committed way. Quick fixes. You know, I just thought, you know, after we were married, now everything was like, no. I had learned to some degree that I can't put that much confidence, though, in myself. You know what I'm talking about? I think we keep learning that. My own strength, my abilities, my courage, my body, all those things, I'm weak. I'm willing, but I'm fickle. I can feel desperate at times, and I have. I have felt desperate in my marriage. After being married 6 years, I thought probably it would end. Because I just like, I don't know how to love. I don't know how to change. I was desperate, but weak. I can show courage, but I'm sometimes very afraid. I'm willing to move forward, but sometimes I'm paralyzed by my own faults. So what's the answer? Yeah, surrender. That's the answer. If you wanted a quick fix answer, it's surrender. I think we sang about it today. In my marriage, I have learned and have to continue to learn to give in to a cooperation with Kathy. That's usually always way better than my own little idea. But my real surrender has to be to who? To Christ, that's right, to Jesus. Real surrender starts with him. He's the greatest other master, not other master, but master and Lord of the universe. I can surrender to him, and I have to start with him. My strength to grow and move in this life is directly related to me releasing my life to another. Now, in a small way, when I release my life to Kathy, sharing faults, sharing needs, that's good, but I have to release my life to something bigger. Not just people, but to God. And I can if I believe in the love of God. The love of God has to be the foundation. Love is the ground on which we stand, the air with which we breathe. Love is the water I drink and the food I eat. I've been learning, and probably many of you have known this a long time for yourselves, but I've been learning how to breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, God's peace. Breathe out, a smile. Simple. So simple, so powerful. And with him. And there's all kinds of things you can breathe in. Look, God's love, God's peace, Jesus' name. Sometimes just keeping track of your breathing will stop you from thinking about the politics of our world and give your mind a rest that you need and I need. I want to believe in the power of love. That the power of love is stronger than any other power that tries to surge through my mind, my body, my spirit. I will seek to not fear the power of love. To break down walls that try to separate and hurt me and others. I want to believe in love in its practical workings, and in its great mystery. Because it's a practical working, and yet it's a great mystery. God's love can transform a meal, a conversation, a conflict, a life. Jesus, who was the complete embodiment of life and God's love, said that all the laws hang on two commands. Remember them? To love God, the Lord your God, and to love others. All others, because he said your neighbor. And that would mean anyone at any time. So I must sit and hold and struggle with that truth right there. All my days, all your days. That will never change. It's like the best example I thought about was like your child. You know, we had small children once in swimming areas, rivers, swimming pools. You're aware, aren't you? You're aware. I remember one time my daughter was on a floaty thing behind me in a swimming pool, and I was watching her, and then for just a second, someone said something, and it was upside down. She still remembers that. She reminds me. Dad, it took me a while to really be comfortable in the water. Thank you. But that's how we have to be with these, this love God, love our neighbor. We have to be aware and constantly thinking, this is me, this is my life. I must hold these. I must struggle with these. People, this, I'm closing with this. People matter. You matter. I matter. I don't need to worry about loving the people on television. No, seriously. I know, we're supposed to love everybody, right? But I can't get caught up in that. Or politicians, political parties, sports teams, though I love sports. I love my teams. I won't mention them. I wear a shirt that says, Jesus loves the Trailblazers. See, I don't have to say it. He does, right? So that releases me. I don't have to worry about that stuff. But the real people around me matter. Jim matters. Jim has a name and a face and a story. Now, I know his name. I know his face. And I know a little bit, just a little bit of his story. He's from Arizona, and I still love him. But people matter, don't they? Everybody does. My desire to figure out things and be right must give way to a person, to Jesus in sweet surrender, and then to others. It doesn't mean we have to be a doormat. I have unfriended people. I don't mean on Facebook. There was someone once in our lives that Kathy and I, this didn't mean we didn't love them anymore, but they could not come to our house anymore. And you've all had to do that. And sometimes you have to do that. We're not talking about mamsy-pamsy stuff here. We're talking about real love. Real living in the now. People matter. They have faces. They have names. They have stories. This makes one another sacred. Even someone that you've had to unfriend. It doesn't mean they're not sacred. It just means you can't be with them. Jesus always challenges us. And that's why I say this. It's not my quote. It's Shane Claiborne's. He challenged the chosen as he included the excluded throughout his ministry. And so that is ours. He loved without discrimination, even to the love of enemy. And that's the gospel. Carrie's going to help me serve communion today. Not Carrie. Carly. Did she have to leave? Who wants to fill in for Carly? You want to, Susanna? Thank you. You just have to hold the cup for me. As we get ready for communion today, and as we close, if anyone's here and needs prayer today, there'll be some of us over here to pray for you. I just want to, as we take communion, it's a reminder of love. It's not just bread and a cup. It's love. It's Jesus. It's remembering Jesus, and it's about transformation. Not that the physical doing it transforms us as much as what takes place in our hearts. And these symbols, which they are, the cup with the grape juice, represents the blood of Christ. That was sacred, and it was poured out. It says for the forgiveness of all sin. All sin. We don't even fathom how powerful the death of Christ was in that affecting the universe. But we hold on to it because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And so his blood and the bread, his body that was broken and given to us. And these symbols Jesus broke with his disciples and shared. And then he said, keep sharing this together and remember me. And Jesus wants us to remember that he was transformed and that he's transforming us. And as we read those verses earlier, and I think from Romans, where it says Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended, he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. It's like we're called into this service somehow of one another that's a transformation. So Lord, help us in that today as we take this cup and this bread today. We're reminded of your love again, and let us go out as your beloved and knowing that in our hearts. Amen.